We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Those bit swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
We do continue on as we move into hour number two of the program, a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. As always, if you want to join the program, you can do so by calling and or texting 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. You can also tweet at me if you'd like, at Matt Pauly on air. Our plans, by the way, on Thursday here on KMOX, we are going to start bright and early with opening day coverage. We'll have everything going on at Kegs and Eggs. We'll then lead into our network pregame show, the game broadcast, network postgame show. Joe Pott and myself will have you for the extra inning show. And then whatever time we have left between then and 8 o'clock, we'll do a sports open line. So basically, our opening day coverage is going to start at like 5 in the morning, and it's going to go 8 o'clock in the evening and beyond. So we will have you covered in every single possible way. Polo Asensio is going to join us in about 10 minutes or so. Spanish language broadcaster. I'm sure he's all kinds of fired up as he gets ready for tomorrow's opening day broadcast that he'll be doing alongside of Benji Molina. Want to talk a little college basketball real quickly before we jump back into the Cardinals. Continuing to get ready for the Final Four on Saturday. Florida Atlantic against San Diego State. Miami against UConn. UConn, as a 4 seed, is the top-seeded team that is still alive in the Final Four. It's just been a crazy tournament. People are expecting it to be the lowest-rated from a TV perspective Final Four ever. I don't care. I'm excited for these teams. I'm excited for these fan bases to experience something that really they don't get to experience very often. Like just being around Kevin Wheeler, who's a Miami guy, and seeing how fired up he is about his school and his program being able to play in a Final Four, something that felt like was light years away at one point for that program. It's really cool, and I'm really happy for the various fan bases. We had James Wessling from ESPN on yesterday, and we didn't get as deep into this as maybe I would have liked to. I think we're in a really, well, of course, we're in a really weird spot in college basketball because name, image, likeness, and all that is brand new, and we still don't know what that's going to end up looking like. There's still a lot of changes, and there's just the way sports are and the way college sports are, they're probably going to continue to be changes. One of the really odd things about this year was the impact of freshmen was limited. A lot of those one-and-done type freshmen decided not to play college basketball. They now have an opportunity to go play in the G League, which is a great opportunity for them. They can go make a few bucks and then go into the NBA after a year. And in many ways, that makes more sense than playing 1 year of college basketball. You know, generally, kind of the DNA of, say, a mid-major team that makes a deep run in the tournament is a team that's got a bunch of old guys, a bunch of seniors, a bunch of fifth-year guys. Well, with the COVID year, we've got all these sixth-year guys running around. Or we've got fifth-year guys that normally would have left a year early. I think there's just all these guys with this extra year of eligibility, and that has really changed things for this year. I'm really curious moving forward what college basketball is going to look like when it's clear having older teams, results, as long as you got talented guys. But if you have talented old guys, generally that's better than having talented young guys when it comes to, at least when it comes to the NCAA tournament, how that's going to play out moving forward. We are seeing most, not all, most major programs really utilize the transfer portal. And when you go into an offseason and say you got four scholarships available and you've got some holes on the roster, you're not going to be looking at high school kids. You're going to be looking at the transfer portal because you've got areas of your roster that you want to improve right now. And you can do that easier in the transfer portal than you can do that bringing in freshmen. And I feel like freshmen are ending up in, there's some programs out there that are still really putting a focus on bringing in high school kids and developing them. The thing that's got to happen for those programs to be successful is got to be a program that can retain those kids. You don't want to develop a kid coming out of high school and then them go into the transfer portal and go play for somebody else. And that's what's happening. And that's the gamble right now of bringing in young players and giving a scholarship and giving a spot on the roster to young players. You don't know if the dividends are going to pay out for you or if the fruit's going to bear out on another team and another roster. So it's a really interesting place to be right now for college basketball coaches. And just the way this year's NCAA tournament played out showed how teams using the transfer portal and teams using older players, it's flattening out kind of that top-level college basketball team to what used to be that second tier of team and maybe even third tier of team. All of a sudden, there's not a whole lot of difference, and you end up with an NCAA tournament that looks like this one. Now, the big change moving forward is you're not going to have that extra COVID year eventually. Guys are going to kind of graduate out of that where you didn't experience that. You weren't on a roster. And then everything's going to maybe normalize out. But I don't know if that's going to really change things or if college basketball coaches are going to look at, say, what happened this year and say, okay, this is how we win. This is how we make a run in the NCAA tournament. We get as many old guys as we possibly can. Look at what Missouri did. Missouri completely rebuilt their roster, and it was a new coaching situation, so it's a little bit different than other places. But Missouri rebuilt their roster with the transfer portal and got to the NCAA tournament. They weren't alone in doing that and having success. You want to win next year. You want to bring in a new coach and win next year. Bring in a coach that you feel like can recruit the portal. And you've got as good a shot as anybody of making that huge, huge step forward. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we are set to be joined by Cardinal Spanish language radio broadcaster Polo Asensio. How fired up is he about opening day? He's always fired up about something. Love Polo. A lot of fun to talk to. We'll talk to him next. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
A Graybar Sports Open Line does continue here on KMOX. We call our network show Countdown to Opening Day. We are counting down to opening day, Thursday afternoon. A 3:10 first pitch. The Cardinals are going to begin their season as they match up against the Toronto Blue Jays. The two teams will take Friday off, and then they'll get back at it, continuing the series on Saturday and Sunday. Miles Michaelis is going to start the first game of the season for the Cardinals. So that's cool for him. He gets the opportunity to have that opening day start, which is always a big honor. It would have gone to Adam Wainwright had he been healthy. He's not healthy, so instead it's going to be Miles Michaelis who's going to get the start. The way it's lined up, Miles Michaelis in game one on Thursday, off day Friday. Jack Flaherty is scheduled to pitch game two on Saturday, and then Jordan Montgomery will go on Sunday. At that point, the Atlanta Braves will come in for a three-game set Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Jake Woodford is scheduled to go the first game of that series on Monday, and then Steven Matz will go on Tuesday. So that's how things are lined up here at the moment. And I am, by the way, we may have to push Polo Asensio. We've been promoting having Polo on. We may have to push him back till tomorrow. So if that's so, we'll do that if possible. But we will get Polo on before opening day, hopefully, if we're not able to get him on the program today. I am excited to see what Jake Woodford is going to be able to do after he put together a really, really strong spring. And he was as good as any starter for the Cardinals. And he came in, Dakota Hudson was kind of the number six starter. And then who was the number? Was Matthew Liberatore the number seven starter? Was somebody else the number seven starter? Like, you didn't really know who it was. And Jake Woodford, who has done nothing but have success at the big league level, he went out there, he performed, an opportunity opened up because of the injury to Adam Wainwright, and he took that opportunity, and he stepped forward. All right, we do get Polo Asensio. He is the Spanish language play-by-play voice of the Cardinals. He's one of my favorite people in the world to talk baseball with, and he joins us right now. Hey, Polo, how are you?
Doing fantastic. First of all, let me apologize to you, Matt, and to everybody. Because I kind of lost track of time. I just landed here today from California, you know, getting ready for the season. And I stopped at one of my favorite stores. I'm not going to say any names because, you know, they're not our sponsors. And I'm just buying stuff for the season, bro. I mean, jalapenos, dishwasher thing, clean supplies, hangers, toilet paper, you name it. Everything is in here. But, hey, let's talk some Cardinal baseball now.
What food do you always have in the booth?
What food do we always have in the booth? Obviously, water. Okay. It's a must. And I like to have some candy because sometimes my mouth gets really dry and I don't want to be drinking a lot of water because, you know, water, then you have to go to the bathroom and next thing you know, the innings are not, the in-between innings is not too long, so you don't have the time to run and come back. So candy. Candy is a must. When we come down to food, over the last couple of years, I basically copied something that the great Mike Claiborne does every day. And he eats shrimp before the game.
Hmm.
So, So shrimp before the game is something that I like to eat just, you know, to be like a little bit like Mike Claiborne.
All right. When I was doing single-A baseball, our home ballpark did not have a bathroom anywhere on, like, where the press box area was. In my 2 years, I never once was able to use the facilities as the game was going on.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's interesting. So we, as you know, Busch Stadium has plenty of bathrooms, and
yes,
there's a couple of them right next to the booth. So I don't have that problem. But once in a while, you know, the problems I run into, Matt, that I will be done with my business, and then somebody will start talking to me, or I'll start talking to somebody. And most of the time, I don't know why. It's either Michael Gersh or Mo. You know, they're in the bathroom and we start talking baseball. Next thing you know, the game is going on. So Benji steps in. Thank you so much. So Benji steps in and he starts the play by play. So I have to like kind of run fast, but it's all good. You know, we have fun with it. We love doing what we're doing, and you know, everything seems to be ready for another great season of Cardinal baseball. So, hey, if my biggest problem is to talk to Mo or Gersh in the middle of the game, yeah, that is not a problem at all. I enjoy it very, very much. And you know, they are very nice to talk to. And as you know, it's always good to talk to people in the front office, because sometimes you will hear something, sometimes you will read their minds, or just the talks, the conversations that you have with them, especially if you're a broadcaster, they can turn into a nice conversation on air in between a bath, or, you know, nowadays we're not going to have a lot of time to talk about things, but it's always nice to compare notes with broadcasters, with, like I said, people from the front office. And at the end, it all comes out on air. And I think that is what makes Cardinal baseball and the broadcaster the Cardinals have so special and interesting, because we talk about baseball, but we also talk about a lot of different things. And as you know, I mean, I know you understand a little bit of the Spanish we drop out there, Benji and I, we talk about food, we talk about wrestling, we talk about music. And I am going to tell you, this year, I don't care how late the season is, I'm going to talk about the World Baseball Classic, because if you don't remember, Mexico beat his Puerto Rico. So bragging rights all season long, at least for the next 3 years.
Jordan Walker makes the club. How excited are you to watch this guy play on an everyday basis?
You know what? I had a chance to see him last season. We did a special trip to Springfield, and he was there. And he hit a ball, I don't know, 460 feet down center field. Like, I don't know if you've been to Springfield, it's the stadium they have there. But there's like a Coca-Cola sign right beyond, like, center field. And he went beyond the sign. So it was a good 450. Yes, I know it's double A, but, hey, he was doing spring training against big league talent. I'm excited to see him. You know, the guy is huge. The guy is strong. And on top of that, Matt, he's a really, really nice kid. He's only 20 years old, and he is grounded. He knows what he wants. And I think if you guys saw the video that Cardinals production put out there, what Oliver Marmol, our manager, was telling him, and the way he reacted to every single word, I am pretty sure he thought they were going to tell him, but you're not ready. We will see you at some time or at some point during the season. When they told him, you're coming with us to San Luis, you can tell he froze for a second, and he basically, I'm pretty sure he thanked somebody. I don't know who. I'm going to talk to him tomorrow. And I'm excited to see him. I'm excited to see him around the lineup. I'm excited to see him on a regular basis around that lineup with Nolan, with Goldie, with all the other guys. But around those guys, let's see what this kid can do following them, hitting in front of them, hitting in between them. It's going to be exciting, no doubt.
It really is. He is Polo Asensio. He's the Spanish language broadcaster for the Cardinals. He is going to be visiting us, hopefully, many, many times during the course of the season. Always love talking baseball with him. Polo, thanks so much for taking some time after just landing here in St. Louis, and we'll see you at the ballpark here very, very soon.
Hey, I'll be there tomorrow. There's a workout tomorrow, and then on Thursday, the unofficial, official holiday of St. Louis. You know, there's no day like opening day for the Cardinals in San Luis. So I'll be there. I hope to see you there. I'll be wearing my best suit. I hope you'll be wearing your best suit. And, hey, Cardinal fans, again, thank you so much. Let's have some fun this season. At the end of the day, let's have some fun, because we know this team is going to give it its all.
Yeah, absolutely. Polo Asensio joining us here on the program, and we appreciate him taking a little bit of time with us. And yeah, we're just about there. Opening day coming up on Thursday. I see people say unofficial holiday. I'm dropping the unofficial part. It's an official holiday. This is St. Louis. There's nothing unofficial about it. This is an official holiday. Opening day, St. Louis, officially official. It is a holiday. Don't go to school. Don't go to work. Don't tell them that I told you that. But, you know. I used to always get pulled out of school for opening day. My family did that, and I appreciate that. That was a good decision by all parties involved. We'll hear a little bit from Oliver Marmol. We'll do that next. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Those bit swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
A Graybar Sports Open Line rolls on right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Into the final half hour or so of the program tomorrow, we are going to be doing a whole lot of Cardinals baseball. Not that we haven't been here recently, but tomorrow will be the final show before the Cardinals officially open up their season on Thursday afternoon. The Cardinals are going to be holding a workout tomorrow. There's going to be a media availability, and we've got a couple other things in store tomorrow, so make sure to be tuned in from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. And then we'll have Sports Open Line, kind of a post-game edition of Sports Open Line on Thursday from 6 to 8. It's going to be fun. We'll do our normal network post-game show. Then we'll have the extra inning show. Joe Pott's going to be joining me for that, and then we'll roll that right into Sports Open Line. That's going to wrap up kind of our Cardinals coverage on Thursday. It's going to be a whole lot of fun, Cardinals opening day. It's all going to get started, by the way, with kegs and eggs, 10 to 2. If you don't have your tickets yet, don't know what you're waiting for. These things are going to sell out. Would encourage you to purchase them ASAP. You can head to KMOX.com/events. It's all being presented by Budweiser. With the ticket, you're going to get access to a covered VIP area with private restrooms, Budweiser products, Sugar Fire Smokehouse, much, much more. So KMOX.com/events for all the details on our annual kegs and eggs. All right. I don't know how many more times we're really going to be able to do this. We'll see what it looks like once the season gets started. But really, since spring training got started, we've been doing fun with audio almost every day here on Sports Open Line, where we kind of go through some of the big topics of the day and hear from different people associated with the Cardinals. More often than not, Oliver Marmol, and that's what we're going to do today. There were some key storylines throughout spring training and that played out at the end of spring training, and kind of want to go through a bunch of them and get Marmol's thoughts on them. First off, we're going to start with somebody who's not even going to be on the Major League roster to open up the season. That's Mason Winn. Winn was incredibly impressive in spring. I think everybody came away from Grapefruit League play kind of with just a wow feeling about Mason Winn. Like, we heard about him, we knew some of the things he could do, but he looked Major League ready. In fact, his comments recently were that he realizes if he was playing for some organizations, he'd probably already be in the big leagues, but he's going to embrace the continued improvement that he'll do at Memphis, and he knows his time is coming sooner or later. Oliver Marmol kind of reiterating that, saying that Mason Winn absolutely is close to getting to the big leagues.
He'll be up here and contributing at an extremely high level. It's one of the most impressive players I've seen on the field in a long time. I mean, what he does on just every aspect of the game, defensively, offensively, on the bases, Mason Winn is, he's good.
You know, one of the things with the World Baseball Classic, say with the Tommy Edman not being around so much, and then obviously Paul DeYoung's injury helped with this as well, it opened up some doors. It opened up a door for Taylor Motter, more on that in a moment, but it also opened up a door for Winn to be able to play more than I think anybody really expected him to play, or more than he would, probably the better way to say that would be more than he would have been able to play in a standard non-WBC year. It was kind of a perfect storm between the WBC and injuries, also opening up that door for him. Either way, Marmol very happy that they were able to give Winn so much time this spring.
Well, it's definitely a plus to be able to run him out there as often as we were able to, and see him like just consistently. It's not just flashes of talent, like that's how he plays every day.
When we look at the outfield, the standard is starting outfield, and it's going to be different, and there's a lot of starts over a seven-day week with three outfield spots. Clearly, there's going to be many, many opportunities for a number of players, but kind of that standard outfield, that opening day outfield, the outfield if you were going into the playoffs and what you were going to kind of go with, is going to be Jordan Walker in left, Tyler O'Neill in center, and Lars Nootbaar in right. So what that does is it makes Dylan Carlson essentially a fourth outfielder. He's still going to get a lot of at bats, whether it's coming in off the bench, whether it's being a DH, whatever it might be. And Marmol made it very clear that Carlson absolutely is going to help the club.
That's where Dylan's going to provide versatility and being able to spell guys as that right fielder. He can go play center, he can play left, he can take an at bat off the bench, he can provide all of those things and still get a lot of at bats.
As Marmol continued down that thought and that conversation about Carlson, he got more specific about the way that Carlson can help this team. And I thought it was interesting because the way he kind of talks this out makes it pretty clear that they feel like utilizing Carlson off the bench as a pinch hitter, trying to utilize him because of the three batter minimum and being able to go righty lefty and just putting pitchers in bad situations and then keeping him him in games and not seeing the defense drop off. All those things result in Carlson being somebody who can have a huge impact off the bench.
It was a super competitive camp, and the other guys performed, and Carlson allowed us for more versatility off the bench, with the ability to have final say, you know, three batter minimum of them having a righty ready and us having a pinch hit for a lefty, and then you have the ability to still, with the switch hitter, have final say. So there's this versatility in how you navigate the three batter minimum and how who comes off the bench, but also you tie that game after a pinch hit and be able to go out and not lose anything defensively matters in a tie game in the ninth or in extras. So at the end of the day, when you lay out every scenario of what our righty lineup will look like, what our lefty lineup will look like, and how you would use your bench, at least to break camp, we felt it made the most sense for Dylan's versatility.
Somehow we've gone this far and not really spent much time talking about Jordan Walker. Yesterday we heard from Walker. Marmol talked about what Walker did in spring to put himself in position to make this team, and really goes beyond spring. It goes to what he did in the offseason, the work that he put in all offseason long, knowing that there was an opportunity for him to make the team. And then he got to spring, and he did everything that he needed to do to put himself in this exact spot on the opening day roster.
He took it serious, and he knew he had a shot to break, and he did. He's coming with this, but it shows that he also knew that he was ready for that challenge. And he took advantage of it. He came in ready, and he got off to a really hot start, and then showed that even when he's not hitting, that he can be even keel.
While there is so much excitement about Walker, and rightfully so, Marmol did talk about the development continuing on. So if you've listened to me much, you know one of my things that I say over and over and over is that development doesn't stop just because you walk into a major league clubhouse. Well, there is nobody that might be any more true for than a Jordan Walker, who's so young. And there's going to be some really good moments. There's going to be some not so good moments. And Marmol said that Walker absolutely is going to continue to develop.
He's going to get better at a lot of things, but that's going to be one of them. And part of your, like, those two for me go hand in hand. It's like, you got work to do and you're really good, but your ceiling, like, neither of us know what your ceiling is. Like, I have no idea what's possible for you. You have no idea what's possible for you. What we do know is how to go about our work and find out what's possible. So I can care less about opening day. We're playing 162, you punch out four times. I don't care about opening day. You're going to be nervous, figure it out, and then let's continue to get better throughout the season. It's like, that's why those two go hand in hand. Like, I don't place a whole lot of emphasis on the opening day as much as, like, what's possible and how do we get there, and let that be the focus, and it kind of cancels a little bit of the noise. You know?
So Walker makes the team. We talked about this yesterday. Somebody else who makes the team, Taylor Motter. And he took advantage of the extra playing time because of the WBC. He took advantage of extra playing time because Paul DeJong was injured. He took advantage of every opportunity that was given to him. He got to play a lot. He hit, played strong defense. You can play him at a number of positions on the infield. And Marmol simply said, Motter, he's a good player.
Guy can play. Like, he has more athleticism than you would than I thought. Not that you might have nailed it. More athleticism than I thought he had. Plays better defense than I gave him credit for early on. And he can hit. Like, he can get on a fastball. He has a good approach. He uses the whole field. He doesn't scare. Like, you start naming the things that it's easy to continue to nod at the guys that you know that come up through your system. But when you take a step back and see what he brings to the game, like, he can be a very interesting piece to what we do.
There's been so many good stories this year in spring. Like, that's when when we talk about spring training and the Cardinals, a thing that I repeat over and over is there's a lot more good stories than bad stories. There's some negatives, without a doubt. There's always going to be. Not everything is perfect. But there's so many good stories. And sometimes when there's that many good stories, some can kind of get lost. And one that kind of got lost was the spring that Nolan Gorman had. Put together an impressive spring after doing all kinds of work in the offseason to basically redo his swing. And Marmol made sure here at the end of spring to make that point that Gorman's camp was pretty much as impressive as anyone's.
People understand the real mechanical change that Gorman made.
Was it? Okay.
That's not an easy one, right? Like, the game's headed in a direction where, like, just hop at the top of the zone is eating some people alive, and to be able to adjust to that and immediately put it into play. I think he's only going to get better at laying off the ones he can't, and then at the very least fouling off the ones and buying himself another pitch, but he's also gotten to some up there. So it's I was impressed by the adjustment that he made coming out of camp.
But then on the other side of that, the probably the biggest negative, I guess there's two negatives that kind of loom large. One is Adam Wainwright being on the injured list to start the season, and the other is another player who's going to start the season on the injured list, and that's Paul DeJong. And we spent so much time talking about his offseason, what he did all offseason long, how he tried to fix his swing, rebuild his swing, essentially, and it just he didn't hit when he played. He didn't play that much because he was injured, and now he's still injured. At some point, he'll get activated to a minor league rehab assignment. He'll go to Memphis. He'll get some games in there. That's essentially going to turn into his de facto spring training. But at this point, there's no real timeline on when DeJong might get back on the field.
He's staying back, and we need him to kind of get back in the swing of things, get healthy, and then play in some games for us to figure out where we're at. But no real update or news on that at the moment. I don't know what the timeline for.
He's not doing baseball activities.
No. No, no, no.
So that is today's edition of Fun with Audio, as Oliver Marmol comments on a number of the big storylines for this Cardinals team going into the season, which begins on Thursday. We'll take one more break, come back, wrap up this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line. My name is Matt Pauley. This is KMOX.
Cardinals Radio, KMOX, celebrating great moments in opening day history.
I'm Tom Ackerman. In the World Championship year of 1967, Lou Brock lit up the crowd at the home opener at Busch Stadium 2.
There she goes! Way back! It might be! It could be! It is! A home run! Holy cow!
Share your home opening day memories on social media and hashtag My Home Opener.
Back at it on a Graybar Sports Open Line for our final segment here on a Tuesday night. Again, tomorrow, the Cardinals are holding a workout at Busch Stadium throughout the day. The Blue Jays are going to work out, and then the Cardinals are going to work out. There is going to be some open clubhouse time for media to speak with Cardinals players. So we'll be in there. Hopefully, we'll be able to maybe get some audio that will play back during Sports Open Line tomorrow. We've got a couple other things that are up our sleeves. We might have a couple former Cardinals who are going to join us tomorrow on the opening day eve edition of Sports Open Line. Look forward to coming your way tomorrow. Wanted to share this before we get out of here. Forbes did their annual list of the top 10 highest paid players in baseball. And when they talk about the top 10 highest paid players of baseball, they're not just talking about their team salary. They are talking about what they are totally making in terms of their on-field salary, but also what they make off the field in terms of endorsements and things like that. And the player who comes in, by the way, there is a Cardinal on the top 10. We'll get to that in a second. But the player who comes in number one on the list is going to make a major league record $65 million this upcoming season. Who do you think it is? Maybe you already know. It actually makes a whole lot of sense. It is Shohei Ohtani. He's going to make about $30 million from the Angels, and then he's going to make more than that off-field, as he'll have about $35 million worth of endorsements. Of course, his endorsements are not just domestic endorsements. He has an international following as well. You know, a lot of people are talking about him as a potential Cardinal. I have a hard time believing that's going to happen, because he is going to get paid a lot of money. We were talking about this yesterday when we had Danny Vietti on the program, as we saw kind of the bromance between Lars Nootbaar and Shohei Ohtani, and Cardinals fans are trying to turn that into, well, maybe Ohtani's going to end up with the Cardinals. That seems doubtful to me, unless he just makes this decision that says, you know what, I'm making so much money off the field that Let me go take less money to go. For some reason, St. Louis would be a place that he would really desire playing in. But it's not just a competitive issue, because there's going to be competitive teams like the Dodgers, like the Mets, that are going to spend more money than the Cardinals, that are going to go after him. But it'll be interesting to see how his free agency plays out. I think we can all pretty much assume that he is not going to be back with the Angels. And then that turns into, do the Angels potentially trade him at some point just to get something for him at the end of the season? Let's see how the Angels do before all is said and done. All right, so let's go through the rest of the top 10 on this list in terms of highest paid players in baseball in total, both on-field and off-field earnings. So Ohtani came in at $65 million. Max Scherzer comes in at $58.3 million. Interestingly enough, the vast majority of that comes from his salary. He is set to make just over $58 million this upcoming year. He's only expected to have about $1 million in terms of his off-field revenue. So Scherzer doesn't do a whole lot in terms of endorsements and things like that. He does a little bit, but not a ton. Aaron Judge comes in number three at $44.5 million. Again, the vast majority of that comes from his salary at $40 million, but his endorsements are raking about $4.5 million. Of course, you never really know how Forbes gets this information. They don't know the exact amount of money that these guys are being paid for their endorsements and things like that. Number four on the list, Justin Verlander, coming in with his on-field salary at just over $43 million, his off-field income at about $1 million. Mike Trout, he comes in number five on the list, just under $40 million at $39.5 million. Vast majority coming on field. He'll make $35.5 million. Off field, about $4 million. Number six on this list, Anthony Rendon, $38.2 million. And all but 38 of the $38.2 million is what he is making in salary. Carlos Correa, number seven on this list, set to make $36 million. Off field will be at $1 million. Garrett Cole, $36.5 million. And again, I mean, this is kind of the difference. If when they do this for basketball, you know, Shohei Ohtani is the exception because of how much money he can make from an international standpoint. If they do this with basketball, NBA players will make a lot more money when it comes to endorsements and things like that. Same with the NFL. Baseball is a little bit behind. So Garrett Cole, $36 million is his salary, and then he'll make about $500,000 in endorsements. Corey Seager, that's a bit of a surprise, comes in at number nine at $35 million. $36 million. 35 of the 36 is on field. And then at number 10, you do have a St. Louis Cardinal. Who do you think it is? It's not Paul Goldschmidt. It's not Adam Wainwright. It's a Nolan Arenado. He'll make about $35.2 million this year. 35 of it is coming on field. Cardinals are not paying all of that money, as we all know about the Rockies deal. But yeah, he comes in number 10 in terms of top paid players in baseball, combining the what you make on the field and what you make off the field. So it's pretty interesting that Shohei Ohtani makes $35 million off field, and nobody else on this list makes more than $4.5 million. That was Aaron Judge. So certainly thought that was kind of interesting. All right, that is just about going to do it. Hopefully you'll join us tomorrow. Oh, man, we're going to have a fun, program tomorrow on opening day eve, getting ready for the Cardinals and the Blue Jays to begin their respective seasons against each other coming up on Thursday at Busch Stadium. So tomorrow we'll be with you 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. We've got a lot planned for tomorrow's show. Look forward to talking to you then. This has been a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.